We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday here on WMIE 91.5 FM, right here in Cocoa, Florida. We want to thank you for tuning in this morning to the Refresh radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merit Assembly of God, and we want to thank you for tuning in. We also want to say thank you to Advanced Christian Training Schools. Ted and Linda Emsom run that school, 633-0432, on Tuesday nights. They have a free Bible school in our fellowship hall. And so if you would like to avail yourself of that, you can call them for more information. Class times are from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And they can give you all the information that you need. Again, that's Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432. We're going to return and revisit the last part of Romans chapter 2 today. And so let's just go ahead and begin reading from the first part of chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. So let's look back at this. We were talking yesterday about how the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And verse number 5, it says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The good news is God knows how to make a hard heart tender once again. Whether that is in a person for salvation, whether it is in a relationship between a parent and a child, between a husband and a wife, God knows how to make hearts tender. He is able to turn the hearts of kings or politicians. He is able to, if you listen to the Jesus story about the persistent widow, you will see that he is also able to soften a judge's heart. And so if you know somebody and their heart is hard and they're unrepentant, they don't feel sorry for their sin at all, I want to encourage you today that God is able to lead even that person to repentance. Listen, it says, and the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And so I really hope that we can get that truth out there instead of the cruelty of God or the wrath of God, that God's just trying to be mean to people and trying to keep them from having all sorts of fun and all that. That's not it at all. God knows the price tag. God knows the emotional, the physical, the spiritual price tag of sin. He knows the heartache, the consequences that come our way. And so God in his goodness leads us. And I pray today that you have closed your bank account of wrath, that you have opened up a reward bank account, a rewards program. Yes, heaven has a rewards program. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, the scripture says. So it says, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Now, here's another point, and I don't think I touched on this yesterday, so I'll touch on this today. Repentance affects behavior. When Barnabas went on a reconnaissance mission for the disciples, it said he came to the city and he found evidence of the grace of God. The grace of God, the repentance that God gives to us, that God, the goodness of God leads us to, that is going to produce a change in behavior. If someone told you that just by saying a prayer and that it would not impact your behavior, but it would change your outcome, I need to help you to better understand that, because true salvation is going to bring about a change in the actions that we do. We are going to stop pursuing the things that we used to pursue, and we're going to seek after things that we have never sought after before. In verse number 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good. Okay, so I want to encourage you, be not weary in well-doing. Don't grow fatigued from doing the right thing. I know that it can be extremely discouraging to think that you are doing the right thing and know that you are doing the right thing, and yet you look around and you see people who are not doing the right thing, and they are the ones that seem to have all of the prosperity. So, even the psalmist in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 73, said, my foot had almost slipped until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. That's a really, you know, another good reason for us to constantly be pressing in and getting into the house of God whenever the doors are open, is because it can encourage us, it can uplift us, it can help us gain perspective. So let me help your perspective, and that is this. For the person who is doing the right thing, continuing patiently in doing good, living the right way, I want to encourage you, right now is as difficult as you are ever going to have it. Even, you know, when you and I cross the threshold of death, or the rapture comes, the trumpet sounds, and we are caught up to be with him in the air, from that point forward, there is nothing bad that could ever happen to us after that. So whatever time we have on this earth, whether it's good, whether it's challenging, it's as bad as it's ever going to get. And so I want to encourage you. It will get better. God is not going to be a debtor to anybody. He is going to have a mansion prepared for you, that where he is, there you will be also. There is not going to be any of the negatives that we have in this life for those who have been led to repentance by the goodness of God. Now, the other side of that coin is you can have the brand new house, the brand new car, all of the brand name clothes. You can have everything going your way, it seems. But if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not been led to repentance by the goodness of God, this is as good as it ever gets for you, and it is all downhill from there. I have been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. And so I just want to encourage you, and that was what helped the psalmist in Psalm 73, and said, until I realize their end. Now, I'm not saying that I want you to experience that. Well, if you have all of those things and yet you have not asked Jesus, I don't want you to experience an eternity apart from God. What I want to challenge you is allow God to bring you even higher. Let God forgive you of your sins, and instead of being a liability to humanity, instead because of your sins being forgiven, he will make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. Listen, we're at Merit Assembly of God. We are thankful. We're thankful to be on the air, to be able to bring this radio broadcast to you. And we want to be a blessing to the people in Brevard County, but we're not stopping there. We are very, very determined to be a blessing to people all over the globe. So I hope that helps you to gain perspective. Do not grow weary, but be patient, continuing in doing good. Seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Okay. Now, this is not your glory. You and I are supposed to be patient, continually doing good, and we're seeking for the glory of God. We're seeking for the honor that's due his name. We're seeking for that immortality. And, you know, for believers, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. But it only comes from God. It only comes from God. So I want to encourage you, keep on seeking those things. Pursue them. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. It says here that there's an opposite choice. There's something else that we could be seeking. And it says, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. There is a reward that is awaiting for them. It's not necessarily a reward as much as it is a consequence. And it says, but to those who are self-seeking. A long time ago, God spoke this to me, and I've never forgotten it. And he said, I can do a better job of blessing you than you can do blessing yourself. So I want to repeat that to you again. God can do a better job blessing you than you can do blessing yourself. And I found that to be true. God is a wonderful, wonderful God. And so I want to encourage you today, allow God to break the seeking for your own benefit mindset, to deliver you from self-seeking and put you on the path to seeking for his glory, his honor, and for the immortality that he is going to provide. Seek God as your provider instead of self-seeking. You know, I never had to teach a child to say no. I've never had to teach a child to say mine. It's just something that they kind of come up with and grasp is, you know, that there's this kind of innate selfishness that is ingrained into man's spirit. Only God can deliver this, to deliver us from that. Only God can deliver us from being self-centered and self-focused. Did you know that, let me rephrase it this way. According to the knowledge that I have gleaned, that a star that was designed to radiate heat out into a galaxy or out into a solar system, that if that star becomes internally focused to where it no longer emits light, but instead it focuses all of its efforts on itself, that star will collapse upon itself. It becomes so dense and so dark that nothing can escape that. Nothing can get out. It's imprisoned its own self. And that's what selfishness does. That's what selfishness does to an individual. It actually imprisons us. It puts up a barrier where we cannot be open to ministering to somebody else or being a blessing to them because we have imprisoned ourselves. Everything in our world revolves around us. I feel sorry for our society right now because there are people, they've reached celebrity status, and I mean, so many selfies being taken. You know, they've even come up with these selfie sticks so that you can take selfies even from a different perspective. And, you know, I take some pictures on our on my phone every once in a while because, you know, to mark special events and vacations and things like that. But there are some people that they are completely and totally enamored with themselves. And not only is that taking place in Hollywood, but from what we have, from some of the news stories that I've read, is that kids that are growing or have grown up in the past 10 or 15 years, they, to a large extent, have the mindset that that is the way to fame, that that is the way to live, completely and totally absorbed with yourself. Let me tell you what that does. When we are completely self-centered, we are not going to obey the truth. We're not going to obey the Word of God. Jesus, it said, He came not to be served, but to serve. You see, God, when He brings us to repentance, we are going to realize just how undeserving of the tremendous blessings that God has poured upon us we are, that it is simply by His grace, that apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so once we have received that, we are going to want to obey what He tells us to do, because He delivered us. He got us out of the mess we got ourselves in, and He wants to lead us. But people who are self-centered, they have a form of arrogance that says, look, I know how to control my own destiny. I know how to get myself out of this situation. I know the best path. And isn't that really where we are in America right now? Really, everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes to a large extent. And that's not going to end well. That leads to anarchy. It does not lead to a civil society. And so we desperately need God to bring us by His goodness to that place of repentance again, to where we obey the Word of God. It says, they do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Obey unrighteousness. That's not just the deeds that they do, but they act in accordance with the fact that they are not in right standing with God. It is not shocking to me. I'll try and say this as carefully as I can. It should not be shocking to any of us when we see people who do not know Jesus acting like they do not know Jesus. That's normal behavior for them. What should be shocking to us is when we see people who know Jesus acting like people who don't know Jesus. That should be shocking. That should be rare. And so I just want to encourage you there is an obedience that everybody does. The children of God obey the righteous decrees of God, and the people who are self-seeking, self-centered, they are actually obeying the lusts of the flesh, shall we say. Look at what the reward is for that. What is awaiting them is indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Everybody who's a servant of unrighteousness, these are the things that await them: indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. So I want to ask you today, is that what you want for your today? How many of you, as we're preparing for our Tuesday, you just want people mad at you all day long? You want your boss mad at you, your coworkers mad at you, your spouse mad at you, your kids mad at you, and you want to do things in such a way that there's a break in the relationship between you and God. Nobody wants that. I don't know too many people who want to go around filled with anger and wrath, but that is what awaits only for people who reject God's offer of salvation. It's not just the wrath of humanity. Listen, Revelation describes that there is going to be a time where the wrath of God is poured out in an unprecedented manner. And folks, I will not try and scare you into a relationship with Jesus. I'm not here to offer fire insurance. I'm here to offer a better way of life. And I'm asking you today to trade a death style for a lifestyle and allow God not to bring tribulation and anguish. Who wants to go through something that is excruciating? I don't know anybody. And it goes on to say, and Paul writes here, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Okay. In other words, there is no special exempt class. Just because you're an American, you're not going to get out of it. Not because you're this race or that race. Are you going to get a pass? Not because you were famous, do you get a pass? Or because you were a politician, do you get a pass? None of that works. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is, have you allowed the goodness of God to lead you to repentance? But look at what waits for those of us who have repented. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. You know, in verse number 7, it says, seek for glory and honor and immortality. And in verse number 10, it says, these things God has for those who work what is good. Glory, that corresponds with the glory in verse 7. Honor for the verse 7, and immortality is replaced by peace in verse number 10. I am so thankful that God just does not give us an absence of conflict, but he gives us a calm assurance of his presence, of his wisdom, that helps us in every situation. You know, Jesus and the disciples were in the exact same storm. The disciples were panicked and Jesus was sleeping. They thought that he didn't care. And how many times have we said that? God, why don't you care? Don't you care? And the truth of the matter is, God does care. Jesus knew that that storm wasn't going to hinder them from getting to their destination. The professional fishermen had known a lot of contemporaries that had been caught in similar storms. Their natural experience told them that this was a life-threatening condition. And Jesus rose up, rebuked the storm, and said, peace, be still. And today, I want you to rest assured that if God has led you to repentance, no matter what comes your way, whether it's news about finances, news about health, news about what's going on in the political and the spiritual scene, no matter what comes your way, you and I can have peace. Look, I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. That's not an original statement. I also know this. I know he holds me in the palm of his hand. I know that Jesus has a firm grasp on me, that he has a firm grasp on you, and we do not have to live in fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So today, I just want to ask you one more time. We're going to move on from Romans chapter 2 for tomorrow's broadcast. This is going to be our last opportunity here. But I just want to ask you, have you allowed the goodness of God to lead you to repentance, to where it has changed your lifestyle? Now you are pursuing the things that God wants you to pursue. Let me tell you about Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to encourage you today to let God lead you on that journey of repentance. He's not going to lead you to a lower quality of life. He's going to lead you to a better quality of life. I was driving down the road the other day, and I was reminded of something that someone said a long time ago, and that was that the lowest form of existence has the highest price tag. The lowest form of existence has the highest price tag. You know, the truth of the matter is that if I wanted to, if I made a choice today, I could walk away from everything that I've ever stood for. I could walk away from my family. I could walk away from my job. I could walk away from the finances and the possessions and all of that that I've got. And I could go and adopt the lifestyle of a sinner in a heartbeat, without much training. I could adopt that. I could probably be as skilled at it as anybody else in a week. But why would I want to do that? Why would we want to abandon just because of a little bit of pressure, a little bit of intimidation, a little bit of discomfort? Why would we want to abandon an eternal reward that the devil can't do anything about? I encourage you today to allow God to bring about a complete life transformation in you, in your family, in your loved ones. I just sense right now there might be somebody in that's listening, and you do have a relationship with Jesus, but I specifically right now I sense that there might be somebody and your spouse does not. And I want to speak this to you. Live it out. Live out the gospel. Live out the words of life. Let mercy triumph over judgment. I encourage you to live it so blatantly and allow them to see the blessing that your good actions will win them to Jesus. I believe that God wants us and our entire household saved. And so I just encourage you to do that. Let's close in prayer today, shall we? Father, we just want to thank you today for your tremendous goodness. Lord, I want to thank you today that you are able to forgive men, women. Lord, you are able to forgive boys and girls and set them on a path very early in life. And so, God, I just pray right now for our young people all across the county. Lord, some of them are getting ready to be out of school in a few days. And, Lord, a lot of them are not being trained up at home in the way that they should go. God, would you captivate those boys and girls with your love and grace? Would you give them the gift of repentance? Lord, we celebrate that child here that just a few days ago we heard testimony about. And her insistent words were, "Mommy, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior." Lord, I pray that would take place all over this county right now. Lord, I also pray for adults, and maybe, God, some have gotten off the path of righteousness. God, maybe some of them have been distracted and deceived. I pray, God, that you would focus their attention back on you, and that you would, by your goodness, give them the gift of repentance and lead them to a lifestyle of righteousness. In Jesus' name, God bless you all. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."